Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This episode of the Warriors Huddle is brought to you by the Athletic Club Oakland, a local sports bar we fucking love. If you listen to this podcast, you enjoy watching sports, and you already know that watching games with other fans just makes that experience better. Look, watching a Warriors game on your own is fine. It's crazy fun. I've done it for years. But watching a game in a spot that lets me scream and cheer and just generally lose my shit with other Dub Nation fans is way more fun. COVID stole that from us for a while, and the ACO is giving it back. The Athletic Club Oakland has shut down their entire side street, created an enormous outdoor space called the Town Gardens, and filled that space with tables, more than 15 huge and legitimate TVs, and their full complement of great food, service, and drinks. It's big. It's comfortable. It's a great spot to watch Steph continue to rain threes during this incredible Warriors season, the NFL playoffs, or any other sport with fans while still staying safe. I love this bar. I love their food. I love their space. I love their TVs. I even love that it's basically family-friendly. I can go here, get hammered with my friends and get too passionate, or I can roll with my wife and kid and just enjoy brunch while catching a game. The Athletic Club is now our go-to spot to watch all sports, especially the Warriors, and we hope you'll join us there. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans can be sports fans again.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, with you for usual, my boy and producer Marcus.
What's up, Dub Nation?
And our master of all things sound, Maxine.
How's it going?
Gentlemen, I am excited to announce, after way too long, after a head fake last week, we are fired up to have back into the huddle the host of the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, the lead on the Warriors pre- and post-game coverage for the Golden State, NBC Sports Bay Area, and a guy who watched me become best friends with D. Wright and Chris Mullin last week on the set, Mr. Bonte Hill. What's going on, Bonte?
You know, Maxine, Marcus, good to be on with you guys. Bram, I don't know about that because, you know, he tried to be best friends with Mullin and D. Wright, but he got stage fright. He did become best friends with Joe Shasky, which is not a hard thing to do. I see my co-hosting going to games with the World Huddle. I introduced him. All of a sudden, he's getting primetime tickets. I don't get calls anymore. But I got to say, fellas, the expression of Brand's face when he walked into the gatehouse last week coming to Chase Center. And I'm like, yo, come meet Chris Mullin. He's like standing in the back like, I just saw a ghost. Now, Brand is a very talkative guy. He's, you know, he's very abrasive at times. You know, he's cocky. He's arrogant. He thinks his stuff don't stink. And when he saw Mullin and D. Wright, my man didn't know what to do. Oh, it was like he ran into the Pope or something. I don't know. Okay. He saw Beyonce or something walking on the runway. It was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, I'm like, hey, Bram, come meet Bully. Meanwhile, my co-host, who has no shame whatsoever, I love him. I love him dearly. But, I mean, he must have asked Chris Mullin for 5 things in less than 60 seconds. So the whole episode was just like, oh, man, okay. I'm just going to let that one breathe. I'm not going to say anything to Mullin D. Wright about it. And we're just going to keep it moving. We're going to keep it moving and act like it never happened.
I have spent the last 5 seconds trying to find the fucking mute button on Monte. And by the way, I got to be the host on here, dude. like of the Zoom meeting because I couldn't find the goddamn thing. So he said a lot of things there. He said I was cocky. That's true. He said I'm abrasive. Also true. He also said I talk a lot. True. But he said I was a ghost in that setting. I'm calling bullshit. Let's a little setup, boys, so they're all on the same page. Last week, I did, in fact, go to a Warriors game with Joe, co-host on the Morning Roast with our boy, Bonte. And before the game, we went over to say what's up to Bonte on the set. And so they let us in, and he's sitting there, as we see on television, right? He's fucking – Bonte's right on the side. We've got Mully, and we've got D-Wright. And so we come in, and weird setting. I don't know if, like, we must be at commercial break. I don't know if they're going to be going right back. So I'm not really sure like what the interactive process is going to be. I want to play it cool. And I have a moment in my head where like, oh, you know, maybe we can talk to him about the podcast. So we walk in and to his credit, not to his detriment, Joe comes in fucking hot, dude. Fool is firing off questions. He's got Molly laughing. You could tell they already kind of had a friendship. They're talking about golf immediately. And so I just, you know, fuck, dude, I'm back off. What am I going to say? There's nothing I could go with the exception of, at one point, Joe says, Mully, you need to come on. Mully says, no, I don't get up before 10. And I say, that's when we record every podcast. You need to come on at 10. Nobody laughed. I looked at Bonte like he'd give me a fake laugh. This fool didn't fucking help me at all, dude. He left me just out in the goddamn cold.
Well, here's the thing, Bram. What you forget is you're standing back there. I'm like, hey, Bram. Chris, here's Bram, Warriors Huddle Podcast. Bram was just going to keep his hands in his pocket and his nice little North Face that he had on. Like, damn, Bram got some style here. But he just got the hoodie on with the hat, gloves. It's like, I'm not even going to put my head out to go meet Chris Mullin. And Chris Mullin did say he doesn't get up. He gets up at 10. The only 7:30 he knows is PM, not AM. But Bram's just sitting there shook. I'm like, hey, Bram. Could be Chris Mullin. I was like,
cool, Bonte. Okay.
Oh, man.
Somebody call Joe. Well, we need a fucking video. Were they taping this, Bonte? Because at that moment when you said, come and meet Mully, I'm getting ready. And Joe's like, Mully, let's play golf. I just played golf. Do you want to play golf? I just went to this stage. I'd be like, they were best friends immediately, dude. There was no space for me to talk.
I would say they were friends immediately. I think Mullin was just laughing because he's like, this guy's running hot. He's running material. And he's asked me a billion things. Hey, no damn way Mullin comes to the city go golf with Joe Shasky. No, don't tell him that. We want him to keep that dream alive. I don't need his self-esteem to go down the drain. But, you know, Mullin ain't going to play no golf. He ain't going to play no golf in the city. So it was a fun interaction. Loved you guys coming by. But I was like, damn, Bram, you shook out here, man. And it's Shasky's defended brand, fellas. You know, that's our idols, man. What happens if you beat your idol? Hey, how you doing? I'm Bonte.
That's not the defense I wanted from Chasky. Joe needed to say I was talking too much, dude. Not that like that's what I would do with my idol.
Well, one thing you're gonna learn about Joe Chasky since he is your new best friend, he never believes he talks too much. Once he starts talking, his ear holes close up and he doesn't hear a thing. There's no such thing as talking too much in this world. No such thing at all. He can talk 3 minutes without taking a breath.
Bonte, Mully, D. Wright, and I are all in a group chat, and I can confirm, Bram, that they thought you were weird.
No, fuck you. I'm on that. What you guys don't know is I'm on that group chat. I'm just too afraid to text in it. Fuck you guys. Also, you should know that Joe and I are here together right now holding hands, and the stupid-ass Maxime has just put up a shot of him in his background with Mully, which is upsetting me. Although I can tell that he might be a little bit of spook there. I was going to say as well, but it's not as well. It's not as well. You know what? We're moving on because this is some bullshit and clear lies. No, and I love Bonte, but he's clearly a liar. So
Maxime, we're going to add you to the group chat.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
When they do, don't say anything about me lurking in behind. You know, look, dude, I'm in a group chat with a legend. What do you want me to do? Boys, let's hop in to our first real segment. It's glass half full. You know the deal. Look back at recent Warriors basketball. Give me something you like or didn't like. I'll give you a moment to think. I'll go first. Here's what I like. I like how quickly Klay Thompson has seemingly become Klay Thompson, but more than that, how comfortable and how joyful he is back out on the floor. So I don't know if this is because I just played hoop and I didn't play the other sports growing up, so I don't recognize it, or if basketball really is an easier sport to read the humanity underneath it. But I tell you what, watching Klay out there, you can see how happy he is to have this thing back in your life. You know, all of us have this tendency, especially when something comes easy, to not appreciate a skill you have until it's been ripped away from you. And Klay Thompson has been elite at basketball probably since when? He was like 5 or 6 years old. And then he has it taken away from him for 900 days. Well, the thing I like, boys, is not only watching him back on the floor, but watching what it means to Klay Thompson being back on the floor. You know, he hits that game when I went to my new best friend with Joe. Klay hits a shot, and they call timeout, and he runs to the end zone, puts up his hands, and celebrates with the fucking fans. That's not somebody who's taken 1 second of this shit for granted. That's someone who's soaking up every moment of this because he realized how much he missed it. So that's the first thing I like, is watching Klay Thompson be Klay Thompson and appreciating what that means.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I didn't know that there were end zones in the NBA, but we'll let you slide.
Did you know what I was talking about, asshole? Yeah, my guy. Yeah, I mean, okay. you could probably figure out exactly what I meant there. So there you go.
End zone rattle, for the man. Golden State Raiders.
Hey, Marcus, man. My man is rattled still about last week, dude. He's never going to get over that.
That was an incredibly great take. You know, hold on. Chris Mully's calling me to the line. Let me tell him I'm not available. We've gotten pretty close. I don't know if you knew that, but, you know, Mully, not right now, but not right now. I'm talking to somebody else.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I'll add on to it and kind of piggyback. It's great seeing Klay be back and exactly doing what he does in the end zone best. I think what I like about it, too, is the impact it has on the rest of the team, and in particular, Steph. Steph doesn't have to carry as much of a load anymore, and you can tell he's still figuring out how to relinquish some of that. But, you know, he's almost got a triple-double the other night, and I think it's a great sign that Curry will be able to extend the longevity of his elite playing career. You know, as long as Klay is healthy and contributing the way he is, and they're on this 9-game winning streak without Draymond even playing one of those games. So I think it just bodes well for this team to have a longer run than we were hoping for. We were giving them another year or two, and I think they could get another 3 or 4 out of it if the team stays together and plays as well.
Bonte, what do you call the area immediately underneath the basket? End zone, right?
Yeah, the end zone. Yeah. I call it home plate. That's what I call it. I call it
that's not funny. That's not funny at all. I don't mind telling you that I don't find that funny. No, that's not. I hate both of you now. Give us something. What do you got? Something you like or don't, Bonte?
Man, 941 days he didn't play basketball, and now I've gotten over the fact that he's back on the floor. Now he's looking more and more like Klay Thompson with the handle. Like, he's dribbling the ball better and he's dropping dimes. But I'm gonna go with a combo here. Andrew Wiggins is Jordan Poole. I'm very impressed. It's very easy for Andrew Wiggins to not be aggressive with Klay Thompson being out, with Klay Thompson being back in the lineup, and he could become passive and become the Andrew Wiggins of Minnesota, where he had this bad reputation of being lazy, passive, not engaged. Andrew Wiggins has remained engaged. He continues to play at a two-way type of level here, all-star level, of course, going to the all-star game in a couple weeks in Cleveland. And then Jordan Poole. It's not easy. It's not easy to go to the bench after you've been starting all season. Now, he knew the deal, right? They all knew the deal that once Klay gets back, he's starting. No doubt about it. How are you going to tell Klay Thompson to go to the bench? But a lot of guys wouldn't take it well. And he was playing really well as a starter, averaging 17-plus points a game as a starter. For him to go to the bench, and there were some rough spots, he's adjusted really well. I love this game against Oklahoma City. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists. He's still playmaking. He's being efficient, and he's taking less and less bad shots on the floor. Now, he still forces a logo shot here and there from time to time. But I'm very impressed with those two for standing games, because in order for this team to win the championship, they need Wiggins and Poole to be aggressive. They need 30 between these guys, possibly in a playoff series, a game. Now, it may be much, but 25 to 30 a game, playmaking, rebounding, solid defense. So those two guys right there, I'm pinpointing them because they're still playing with joy and having a lot of fun, and they know their roles. And let's be honest, folks, Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole get to play the easiest basketball they'll ever get to play in the NBA because of Steph, because of Klay, and eventually when Draymond Green gets back. So I'm very impressed with those two guys, Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole.
I love that. And I'll throw a cherry on top of it. One of the things I've learned to do as I've gotten older is actually appreciate things as they unfold. You don't see that with kids in their 20s. It doesn't happen. It requires a level of maturity. That's kind of what you're describing. You know, the reason why people get pissy when their roles change is because they're not appreciating what they're actually giving to the team. In this instance, Jordan Poole, for example, I think understands the franchise he's playing for, understands the opportunity, understands this year. And so when they change the, you know, his part in it, he is so appreciative of just being here, this franchise, that it, you know, all he can do is keep succeeding. You know, he doesn't get pissy. He just recognizes it an opportunity. So I like that a lot. Maxine, what do you got?
Yeah, and I think you add on top of that how that impacts Jonathan Kuminga, right? As a lottery pick that is seeing Jordan Poole a couple of years down the road and his success and seeing him being willing to take a step back. I think it just bodes well for the overall culture of some of these younger players. But you said cherry on top. So speaking of cherries, or rather chairs, sorry for that. We're 9-0 since the chair kick, which I think is fantastic. And that's just like a little nod. I think the more important thing is that we're hearing reports that James Wiseman is starting 3-on-3 contact drills. And that's just like, that's a really huge step. He hasn't had that since the knee injury. It bodes really well for him coming back before the postseason to give him some run, get some minutes under his belt before we actually make to the postseason. It's just really, really exciting to see that missing piece come back in soon.
I love that. I like that. I like it almost as much as I didn't like your cherry transition. That made me want to punch you right in the face. I mean, just like word games, I'm not a big fan of at all. And I'll give you one more thing I don't like about the past week of Warriors basketball. It's the text I received from Bonte the day after I met everybody. Quote, first time I've seen you so quiet. Didn't like that, boys. Read that and it immediately pissed me off. I don't remember what I texted back. Hopefully something loud and funny about end zones. But, you know, it's there. It's not. I did not get in anyway.
Hey, look, you handled it with maturity, Bram. Maturity, like Jordan Poole. You're starting to be mature about it. You're realizing that, hey, I was a little shook. I did kind of see my dance there being
Hey,
but you think about maturity. How about Kelly Oubre Jr.? When you brought that up, though, and you brought up Kelly Oubre Jr. early in the podcast, Kelly Oubre last year, I'm not coming off the bench. I'm a starter. Now he's coming off the bench in Charlotte, and it's like, dude, you could have been coming off the bench for this team. Like, do you have any perception of NBA life, or do you just want to be about yourself? By the way, Kelly Oubre Jr., should have been like 20-something% for three in the last nine. I was looking at his stats earlier today, just kind of chuckling, like, this guy didn't want to play here? To come off the bench? Yikes.
Same thing for Kent Bazemore. Decided to play for less money in L.A. and then that was being immediately traded. Also, Bonte, I'm mature enough to tell you that we talked about Kelly Oubre before we hit record. So nobody knows what you're talking about, and they're all left out. So, I mean, I thought you were the professional, dude.
Folks, Bram, I just start talking, man. You know what I'm saying? The butt goes, all right. Once we lock in, the show starts. Look, Marcus and Maxine, Kelly Oubre Jr., regretting everything about life. You know what I'm saying? Good player, doesn't fit. And all of a sudden, I don't want to come off the bench for the Warriors, which really took Klay Thompson off, saying, you don't want to come off the bench for this team. But anyway, that's what we're discussing before the show. How Kelly Oubre Jr. wasn't a fit.
Nobody blames you, man. I'm sure you're just intimidated because you met me, your idol. And, you know, it's fine. At least you're able to talk. Molly, let's move to our next segment. And our last, it's our mailbag, or our version of it, five golden questions. All of these come from our audience. They, generally speaking, have to do with the Warriors, occasionally get personal. These get both. Let's start with our first. Quote, 2 days before the trade deadline and a couple of moves have already been made. Caris LeVert to Cleveland, CJ McCollum to New Orleans, Sabonis to Sacto. The question is, including those moves and any others you think could reasonably go down before Thursday, do you think the list of title contenders this year will change? So will this trade deadline and the, you know, any movement that we see change who we think is going to be in the finals? Bonte, why don't you tackle that one first?
Yeah, I don't see it happening at this deadline. Obviously, the big carrot here is Ben Simmons, right? Is Ben Simmons going to go to the Brooklyn Nets for James Harden? Doesn't seem like that's going to go down. And I also think the buyout market is going to be more impactful for the title contending teams like the Phoenix Suns, the Warriors, of course, the Nets, the Bucks, the Suns, the Jazz. I guess the Jazz are not really title contending teams. Memphis is a team that I'm really interested in seeing because I think they have a legit shot to make a lot of noise in the Western Conference. But I don't see it changing much, Fram. I really don't, man. What move is going to really – like, Brooklyn's already a title contender with James Harden.
It doesn't change with Ben Simmons. You know, what is Philly going to add? Are they going to add Miles Turner? I don't know if that doesn't work. They already have Drummond and Embiid. So I think the title contending teams are going to stay the same. I don't see a team like the Utah Jazz right outside the title contending teams, the Denver Nuggets in that second tier. I don't see them making a big deal that's going to catapult them to the top of the standings. And we all say, oh, boy, they're going to be title contenders. Oh, they're a factor here. Nothing's going to change before this deadline or after this deadline.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the moves, especially that I just named, the things for, you know, LeVert to Cleveland, CJ, Sabonis, really, those are not about this year. I mean, Cleveland is kind of towards the top of the Eastern Conference, but they're really just playing out their hand. The rest of these teams are kind of figuring out where they're going as far as general direction. They're not trying to solidify a title roster. The only move that could maybe change the balance is the one you've hit on, Bonte. Where the hell is Ben Simmons going, and is it the Nets? But if he goes there and the Warriors have to play Brooklyn, I hope it's fucking Ben Simmons and not Ben, not James Harden. You know, I recognize.
You know what though? James Harden, does he really scare us? We've seen James Harden. This guy, when he has to play in an adverse situation, Harden flames out, man. Very talented individual player. Yep. Is he going to be in shape? How's the hamstrings going to be by June if the Brooklyn Nets make it to June? He wears down every single postseason. Every single postseason, he wears down. We saw it last season where he didn't come into the season in shape. He wasn't a professional. At least with Ben Simmons, he'll play defense. He can lock up on Clay and Steph and try to deny them the basketball. Kevin Durant's the problem in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant and Kyrie, I fear them more than anybody. James Harden, I'm sorry, Maxine and Marcus. I don't fear Harden. I really don't.
No, and don't get my point wrong. It's not that I fear Harden so much that if they bring in Ben Simmons, it's a sigh of relief. It's that if they bring in Ben Simmons, if that's the trade that happens, I'm not suddenly way more afraid of Brooklyn. Last time we saw Ben Simmons, it wasn't his talent that was bottoming out. You know, it was his approach to pressure. And so if our matchup is in the finals and he finds himself with the increased pressure, you know, that players only experience at that level, am I suddenly terrified how he makes them better? Fuck no, I'm not. So, no, the moves that have been made and could be made, I don't think changes the landscape, assuming you boys agree with me. And tell me if you don't. But assuming if you boys do agree with me, I'll switch the question. Is there a move you're hoping Golden State's looking at or any moves around the league that will help Golden State's title chances?
Yeah, I'll say I agree with you, except for one caveat. I think Philly can be a legitimate contender. Are more scary contender if they trade Ben Simmons and not to the Nets. I think if they get some pieces back, the way Embiid is playing and the way, you know, like Danny Green will lock in for the playoffs, Matisse Thybulle is a beast on defense. I think I think if they get some fringe pieces that are under the radar but solid role players, I think that's a scary team with a healthy Embiid. But we were talking about, you know, Kevin Love being in the buyout market when we first started this season as a potential Warriors target, and the way Cleveland's playing, Kevin Love isn't going anywhere, and I don't even think he would fit with what we're doing right now. So last pod we talked about is Bielitsa the odd man out, and somebody, if we had to make a move, would he be the person that we'd give up the roster spot for? And I still think that's true. I think it was a great point, Bram, but I just don't know who's out there that we would really trade for him and what other teams would value Nemanja that much to say, let's give you somebody who would make a difference when we're going to be struggling to get everybody on the court as is, even in the playoffs when the rotation is short.
You agree, Maxine?
Yeah, I'm on the same page. I mean, I think you saw when Clay was posed this question, he said that the Warriors needed a new washing machine. And I think that says everything you need to know about the internal feeling, right? And that says as much about how they feel about the current squad as it does about whether or not they need any other pieces. I think Clay is seeing that this team is locking on all cylinders internally the same way we're seeing it externally.
Clay is playing with such house money when it comes to humor. You know, you say that. You read that to me. I remember hearing that quote and I forgot about it. You say that out loud and I immediately chuckle, you know, and you're like, Clay being Clay, that's great. If it was somebody else, you know, on somebody else's team or whatever, and they asked him and they said, I need a new washing machine. Like, just answer the question, dude. Like, you don't have to be all clever. And I love that Clay has not only earned the right to drop this, but we're all just like, that's great. That's great that he said. Bonte, this question I stole from Reddit. It was not immediately sent to me, but it made me think of you because I want your advice for this guy. So here it is. Quote, my family has always been split between the Warriors and Kings, and I unfortunately was left on the Kings side. With the recent idiocy in the front office, I would like to formally apply to being a full-time Warriors fan. I own a few Warriors shirts and was a huge Baron Davis and Jay Rich fan growing up. I should have looked into the future then and saved myself years of sadness. So please allow me to be a full-fledged Dubs fan. So Bonte, speaking as Mullen's second best friend and as a guy who's on the fucking show and watches this team, I mean, all the shit that goes into this, yeah? Should this gentleman, you know, he's banging. Should this gentleman be allowed to drop his old franchise and come into the Warriors fandom with open arms here? And for those who haven't been following, I imagine this is coming from this recent trade where everybody thinks the Kings got fucked. The Pacers traded out Sabonis. Here's Woj's tweet on this. The Pacers are trading Domas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb to Sacramento for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. You heard me say Jeremy Lamb twice. That's because that's what he put in there twice. And I think it's because he just wanted to make the fucking trade seem like it was like they were getting more people. And what he ultimately meant was Justin Holiday. So in light of all this, years, decades of ineptitude, a recent terrible trade, this guy wants to come on board. Bonte, what's the answer?
You know, I appreciate him begging and wanting to be part of his empire, the nation. But we went through our troubles as Warrior fans from 94 to 07. All right. No playoffs. And then we believe for 1 year and then back to being a decrepit franchise. And we stay strong. We stay tough. We bought those six packs. We bought those, you know, those tickets at 76 gas stations. We waited at the game for the Jumbo Jacks, the free Jumbo Jacks, if they scored 100 points or one. I mean, we did it all. We chilled out and we stayed strong. We had chances to go to Sacramento and root for Chris Webber, Mike Bibby, and those great Kings teams. We had chances to go to the L.A. Lakers. We had chances to go root for the Miami Heat. We didn't do it. We didn't do it. We stayed strong. So, young man, I appreciate you wanting to be part of Dub Nation, but it's going to be all right with the Kings. You waited for 15 years. What's another 15 years to wait on for a playoff spot? It's going to be okay. One day the Kings will be great. It may not be today. May not be tomorrow, may not be next year, may not be within the next five. But you got to stay strong, buddy. You got to stay strong. What are we supposed to tell a Cleveland Brown fan? They suck for years, all right? They suck for years. You want them to dump them for the Pittsburgh Steelers? No, you can't do that. Doesn't work like that. You want me to dump the Giants for the Dodgers? Does not work like that. Come on. Padre fans are stuck with the Padres. It's the, you know, Tampa Bay Ray fans stuck with the Rays. They turned it around. Kings will turn it around one day. You got to stick with your squad. As much as I would love to have this young man and his family part of Dub Nation, you got to stick with Kings, man. You can't just jump off the ship because of one trade. Take a deep breath. Have a good night's sleep. You know what I'm saying? Like, walk it off. Go on a hike or something. It's going to be all right. Sabonis is a good player. Yeah, three-point guards anyway. You had to trade somebody. You know, Davion Mitchell, Fox, and Halliburton. What the hell were they thinking anyway? Stick with the Kings, young man. Stick with the Kings. You're not allowed to come to Dub Nation. I will not allow it. I love you, but you can't come to this empire. You got to stick with the Kings, man. You got to teach your kids, dude. This is about values and ethics. You know what I'm saying? What if baby Chaz, my daughter, said, hey, Bonte, you know, Dad, I want to dump the Warriors for the L.A. Clippers. What? No. No, not at all. You're getting kicked out the house. That's come on, man. Can't do that. No. Bram, you said no. Come on. You got to agree with me here.
Of course I do. Okay. Well, first, let me give you a compliment. I love that you turned – basically, your response was, fuck you know, you're immature and unethical. But you turned it into, like, an emotional support answer. Like, you'll be okay, and the Sacto will get there, and everything's going to be fine. Do I agree with you, Bonte? Of course I agree with you. Of course I agree with you. So if he had, you know, this email or this Reddit post contemplates that he was looking at the Warriors during Baron Davis's first year. Well, we were successful then. We're talking right about we believe. But we're not on the other end of a dynasty. A lot of this request comes with when it's being made. If Sacto was awful, 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 and then he comes to us, well, the Warriors were still terrible. And it's like, you know, I wouldn't mind trying this out. I'd be at the jumping teams and not rooting for where you're from. I'm still not on board with. But at least there's some excuse. jumping teams who you're not on board with to join a much better, objectively, like championship title fucking favorite team is 100% unacceptable. No, you cannot do that. You know, if I grow up poor and the family down the street has hella money, I can't be like, can I be a part of your family? No, dude, you stick with the family that you're in and you find a way to suffer through it together.
Come on.
Okay. Judging only by their faces, you know, I've got the advantage of seeing videos here. I feel like Maxime agrees with this, but I feel like Marcus secretly in his heart of hearts feels like, let this dude become a Kings fan. And what's hard for him, Monte, is you know he likes to fucking agree with you, man. And so, you know, like, this is an internal struggle. Let's see where he lands. Marcus, what do you think, dude? You're the bouncer at the front of the Warriors Club. You opening the door for this kid?
I am not. He's not allowed in. I think this kid was enjoying those Bibby Stojakovic Weber days. And now that the tide has turned, you know, he wants to jump in on the Splash Brothers and Dre. And I wouldn't stamp that passport in. I agree with Bonte 100%, except for one part, him saying that it'll be okay, the Kings will be back. I don't think so. I think that owner is doesn't have the right direction. And I just don't, those moves are super suspect. So I don't see that happening anytime soon, but dude, you know,
I think there's a 30% chance this fucking email came from the owner. This might be Vivek. You know, finally just be like, let me back in. Like, I had it. It was great there. Like, what am I doing here? This is not supposed to be happening. Maxine, do you have any more heart than us, dude? Or are you equally as FU?
Listen, I don't think that he deserves in, but at the same time, well, okay, first of all, right, MT, you know, this is the exact, what Bonte was saying is the exact same thing that this fan is dealing with here, right? Like, we're basically looking for Rana Dive to sell the team the way Konan did before it becomes something that you can have heart for, right? But at the same time, look, I think this is not just like, hey, that's the rich family down the street and I'm part of the poor family. It sounds like this young fellow is, maybe he has divorced parents, right? And like, mom's hella rich and dad's really poor and he got stuck in dad's house, right? But he's realizing, oh, wait a minute. You know, there is some history and I think it's worth considering. So no, I don't think, I agree with you at the end of the day, given that the Kings are terrible right now and the Warriors are doing great right now, there's no guarantee that this man is not going to change back were the tables to flip in another decade or two. And that's what sketches me out. With all of that said, right, this is a concept that I've heard before, this idea of fan amnesty. And I would just sort of like, you know, maybe put this out there to the world of listeners. If there's anybody else out there that's not currently a Warriors fan that maybe was searching for Warriors podcast and came across the Huddle and has been listening for the first time and is considering, write into us, because I think just because this person's case did not fly doesn't mean that other people shouldn't apply for fan amnesty, right, if there are other contexts.
You've hit on the key point. What I told you is I stole this from Reddit. If this person listened to the Huddle, I'd be like, welcome aboard. You are a Warriors fan. It is fantastic for you. Next question, boys. And it's kind of a complicated one. All right. So to get to the question, first, I'm going to read you some names. Any of you, fire off. After I tell you the name, you tell me what player this guy plays for in the NBA. Here's our first. Dyson Daniels. Anybody? Nope. All right. Jaden Hardy.
Nope. Oh, James Harden.
His own guy, Jaden Hardy. I'll give you another one. Scoot Henderson. Anybody?
Scoot Henderson is a G League, right? G League.
Okay, there you go. Marjon Beauchamp. You guys know him? You know what all these people have in common? They're all in the fucking Rising Star games while Kuminga is not. What is happening?
I've never heard of these guys. I
agree.
Who are these made up names?
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and I love where you're going with this, brand. But I think, just side note, Scoot is somebody to keep an eye on. I think he's going to come in the league and do things. But completely agree with your point. Keep going on how Kuminga is completely robbed of being in the showcase. Exactly right.
If you did completely agree with my point, we wouldn't have had a goddamn sideline about Scoot Henderson. Like, so you're throwing up speed bumps for no reason here. The one thing that I think there's two facts we can all immediately agree on. I think the league would agree on it. One, Rising Stars, it's just getting people to be interested in this class. That's it. They're not expecting good basketball. They don't want to develop the G League. They just want to have highlights. You know, it's an extension of the All-Star game. Fact number two, Kuminga is a human highlight. He's must-see television. He plays for 5 minutes and he gives you three dunks that you have to rewind five times. If I could pick any player in the NBA or players who I'd want to be in a setting where no defense was played and I want to be entertained, you know, the LaMelo Balls of the world, of course they're there. Anthony Edwards, yes, absolutely. Evan Mobley deserves it. So does Kuminga. Dyson Daniels? I couldn't pull Dyson Daniels out of a lineup of one. What's happening here? Like, what could the possible justification be? Can anyone take me from the league's perspective when they decided, all right, here's all these people, but F Kuminga?
Yeah, I mean, so first of all, I completely agree. Kuminga should be in there over a lot of people, right? I think the idea is that the G League Ignite is in its infancy. And what this says to a bunch of high school players is, hey, you don't have to be one and dones. You can go to the G League Ignite. You're going to get other opportunities besides just a paycheck and maybe a fast track into the NBA, right? There's all sorts of mechanisms by which this is better than going to college.
Okay, but you know where Kuminga played to get into this? G League Ignite. I mean, that's where he came from. Yeah. They can make that point. Here you go. This is the path he took. You know, like, we considered somebody like Dyson Daniels, but we saw that Kuminga has already taken this route and is succeeding in it. This, it does not make any sense. None. I listened to Draymond's podcast this week for the first time, which, by the way, was great. And he gave us insight during that podcast about the dunk contest. You know, last week I was bitching, where's Kuminga? Where's GP2? And he added Wiggins. And what he said was, well, no, I brought it up with those guys. And they all said, no, I don't want to be a part of it. So at least there was a back and forth, apparently, between the league. I can't imagine that happened with the Rising Stars game. So what's – Bonte, what's going on here, man? Like, is there – have you guys received something, like, as part of the NBC Sports Bay Area's pregame where you have to talk about the G League only or something? Like, is there any explanation from a television perspective here?
I no, not really. We're all wondering, you name these guys. I'm thinking, is this wordplay or something? Like, you said Harden. I'm like, are you talking about James Harden? What are you talking about? I'd never heard of these guys. We read the list last week when they came out with the Rising Stars Challenge, and this is when Kuminga really started to assert himself. Think about his last three games. He's averaging over 17 points per game in limited action, and he gets better and better and better each and every game. I still hold out hope that somebody's going to pull out of this game and Kuminga's going to go to Cleveland, Ohio. So I'm not going to go crazy yet. But once the game happens and Kuminga's not in there, the NBA misses out on showcasing one of this fast rising stars and showcasing one of their fast rising stars on a national platform. I still get it. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any sense to me that they would bypass Jonathan Kuminga. All right, Moses Moody, he's been down in the G League. I get it. Jonathan Kuminga is a human highlight, like you said. The guy is just chasing or roars differently, right? You had the 49ers when they have Nick Bosa, George Kittle, Richard Sherman, Quan Alexander. Levi's rock differently when they made plays. Chasing rocks differently when Steph hits a three, when Klay Thompson does something great, and when Jonathan Kuminga dunks all over somebody's head. When he comes into the game, there's an aura to his game. Like, he goes to the scorer's table, and people get excited. They're like, oh, there's JK. I see it every night at Chase Center when he's about to check into the basketball game. So the NBA, if they don't add Kuminga to the Rising Star Challenge, it's really on the NBA for missing out on the opportunity to showcase one of their fast rising stars. Kuminga's going to be a star if he continues to put in the work. If he continues to put in the work, this guy's going to be a next-level player. He's going to be an all-defensive player. He's going to be a guy who's going to be on all NBA teams. It's the NBA's fault. They got a week or two to fix this, to rectify this wrong here. So I'm not going to get pissed yet, but once that game tips off and Kuminga's not there, then we have a problem.
Doing this without Kuminga is like having an electric car show and having a Prius instead of a Tesla. Like, that's an electric car, but there's a way better one. Like, what's going on, dude? Like, we know that this is out here. Here's our last question, and it's one I'm very excited for. Quote, you mentioned drinking games a few weeks back. What are your top three drinking games, and which Warriors player would you want to play a drinking game with? So I'm going to switch it a little bit, right? You don't have to give me your top three drinking games because that would involve explaining rules, logistics, that kind of stuff. So instead, I'm going to make it a two-part question. One, were you a drinking games guy, or are you a drinking games guy if you still play it? And then two, if you could get drunk with a Warriors player, who would you pick? I'll go first since I've seen this and I've had a little time to think. So was I a drinking games guy? I think – everybody who is listening and is on this call knows, resounding yes. I was an insane, like, way over competitive drinking guy. Freshman year, I destroyed a Monopoly board and made it a series of drinking games, but that one just went in a fucking circle. So you just play until somebody died, basically. So then we made Chutes and Ladders, where each space was a drinking game. That thing was great because it combined drinking and competition, which is a ugly combination, and which is exactly where I really thrive. I don't want to say, it's not my business, but Chris Mullen and I had some crazy nights, dude. Some really great nights. But we don't have to get into that. We don't have to get into all that. So yes, I was a drinking guy. Now, who would I want to get drunk with? Let me start with who I would not. Draymond. Draymond's at the top of that list. I feel like Draymond would become like aggressive, like kind aggressive, but like aggressive. And I am such a puss and can't take any kind of criticism that I'd be in tears by the end of the night. And we don't need that. I don't want to drink with GP2. Love him. Love him as a player. But he strikes me as maybe one of those quiet, sullen drinkers. And it would make me hell of nervous if he just stopped talking. And I'd like fill the evening with just like nonstop chatter. So neither of those two guys. Here's the two guys I want. Splash Brothers boys. It's an easy call for me. So Clay. Clay would be wild. I don't know what would happen. I don't know what we'd talk about. There's a chance we'd take his boat somehow to the in and out at the end of the night. But whatever it was, dude, time of our life. And then Steph's that guy. I think he'd be a really nice drunk. And I think he'd like start making all those promises we all make, you know, when you're too drunk with friends. But unlike everybody else, Steph would actually do the things he promised. You know, he'd be like, oh, we'll go to Aisha's restaurant and I'll get you a free deal. And then that next morning you'd actually get a text of like, oh, let's go, dude. I know we talked about it. So I am a drinker. Splash Brothers are my guys. And I'm a little bit afraid of GP2 and Draymond, apparently, which, you know, is what it is. What do you guys got?
Well, I got beer pong. Beer pong, that's the one and only, whether it's Beirut, beer pong, whatever you want to call it. That's the game that I played in college with Natty Ice, with Budweiser. Just terrible beers, right? But I got an underrated guy because everybody's going to say Clay. I think Kevon Looney could be a great time. Kevon Looney started to show some personality here. The Fit Aid commercials, the See's Candy. He's a fun interview. He's a good dude. He's jovial. And I've always seen his pops at Oracle Arena and Chase with a nice little glass of yak all the time, every single game. I think Kevon Looney is a sneaky good drunk. And I think we'd have a fascinating time drinking with Loon Dog.
I love that. Also, you picked the one guy you might be able to beat in fucking beer pong. That fool can't shoot a free throw to save his fucking life. So there's a good chance you actually might be able to take him down. In related news, I will beat your ass in beer pong.
Not me. Hey, Loon, Brand said that, not Bonte Hill. I respect your free throw shooting. Come on, Looney.
Jokes. Everybody settle down. Just a couple of jokes here. Marcus, I know that you are not a drinker, but I still respect your opinion on this. So, you know, you weren't a drinking games guy, but if you could get hammered with a player, who would it be?
I'm still going to go two players like you did. And Clay is obviously there. I think, you know, he has to be kind of chiseled in stone as your first invite. For the second one, I'm going to go Juan T. I think he would be fun to have as this, that crazy guy who goes out and you can just send him out to go bring the girls back to your VIP little booth. Or if you're just sitting at a bar chilling, you know, he's just the guy who does a little crazy stuff while me and Clay are just hanging back and talking about scaffolding.
I feel like Juan T would have deep thoughts while drinking too, you know, like weird things, you know, like, what do you guys think the color blue sounds like something like that. Like, oh shit.
That might be too much for your boy. That might be too much for a boy. No deep thoughts, Juan T. Let's just have some fun, man.
And then Clay would be like, exactly what it tastes like.
Yeah, right. Hell yes. Somebody throw that dinghy over the side. We've gotten here to In-N-Out. Maxime, what do you got?
Well, listen, okay, so first of all, I take offense to the premise of the question because you said, were you a drinking games guy? And quite frankly, I still am a drinking games guy. In fact, I'm going to a bachelor party next week and it is a sunrise to sunset drinking game situation. We're starting with 4-on-4 sporting events where we go through all the major sports and then we're moving on to drinking games. And the drinking game I want to call out, because I'm very proud of it, I put this together with my track house in college. Track as in running track, just to be clear.
Trap house. I was like, dang, I'll serve an ice cream in a trap house in college. 3 day for power.
climbing trees to the trap house? That's impressive.
This fool has a very complicated past.
Very complicated. Lots of tree climbing.
It's where he's come from, dude.
Well, so we were very inspired by It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And so there's an episode called The Game of Games where they put together a series of games that culminates in some chaos. And so we just made a series of drinking games. And actually, speaking of ice cream, we lived about 800 meters from Cream on Telegraph Avenue. And so we actually made a deal with Cream, the ice cream shop, where we would have a relay race running up in onesies, eat an ice cream sandwich, run back, take the onesie off. The next person puts it back on and runs up. So like we have a history of competitive drinking games and it's always, everybody ends up yelling at everybody. So I'm super down for aggressive drinking in the context of aggressive competition.
I believe Maxine. Anybody who says it's 800 meters away,
okay,
you respect.
Just about to say, the only thing that bothers me more than if I was working at an ice cream place and fools ran up in onesies and I had to serve them and like, oh, haha, I'm part of your drinking game, was that he decided to use the word meters and not feet. I have no idea. That could be 3 miles. It could be 10 inches. I have no idea, dude. I mean, what is the fucking metric system? Just use. This is an American podcast, man. Settle
down.
Oh,
my goodness. All right. Wow. 2,780 feet. Does that help? I mean, does that
help? Oh, I know exactly. My goodness.
Doesn't help you much, Maxine.
Yeah, thank you, Bonte.
I know where you live now.
Oh, that ice cream store. Of course, dude. Yeah, where was that detail before? Okay, I got you.
All right, but I'm gonna have to go with Bonte on the Kevon Looney. I was a little bit disappointed. I thought that was gonna be a sleeper pick. I feel like Kevon Looney is the John Hamm of the NBA, and by that I mean, right, John Hamm made it to prominence late in his life, and so he continues to have this aura about him of like he understands fame. You know, he has a bunch of great stories. He's super polished, but he's not pompous about it, right? He didn't like move into stardom as a 20-year-old, and I think Kevon's got that same energy. So it'd be super fun to hang with him because he's gonna have that balance of the superstar lifestyle with the down-to-earth kind of mentality.
I love the Kevon Looney thing, and I'm gonna add just a random tag on for no real reason. I think they're gonna lose Kevon Looney. Loon's gonna be a free agent. Oh. And I think what's going to happen is, do you guys remember before the Warriors were good, when we were still in that place of sending out emails to try to get to a new team, the Warriors would overpay for veterans who had championship experience from other teams. You know, we paid B.J. Armstrong. We paid Corey Blunt. We paid, like, all these okay players, and we gave them more money because of what they represented. They'd come in here and give us, you know, this championship culture. I think that's what's going to happen with Loon. I think he's going to go to some team on a deal that's more money the Warriors can pay, principally because of that, and then they'll get him and realize he's not that good at beer pong, and, you know, they'll have to deal with that issue as it unfolds. Bate. Well, here's a question just for me, not a golden question. Where were you last night? We missed you on the pre and post.
Day off, man. You got to use these days off wisely, man. Thursday night game. You get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. OKC in town. So let's see OKC Thunder. I can take that one off and come back Wednesday. So got to be very smart how you take these days off. I did miss it, watching it from home, still watching the game. It's just different. You know, it's different now for me. Watching a game, television has totally screwed up my viewing experience. I'm not going to complain. I have a job. It's pretty cool. But, you know, it's different. But I'll be back for the Utah Jazz game. What a stretch here, man. Utah, the Knicks, the Lakers, the Clippers. You got the Nuggets. It'll be a fun 5-game stretch here as the Warriors try to extend this 9-game winning streak. Can't wait.
Me too. You probably didn't. Well, that's why I didn't see you. I was actually at the set. You won't believe. Mullen invited me, so I shouted. I mean, it was a good time. Right. I don't want to press it, dude. Yeah. I don't want to press it, but we did pretty well. Bonte, I appreciate you, man. Jokes aside, as much as I occasionally hate you, I also love you. I know I'm not the only one who loves you on this show, and I know I'm not the only one who wants way more of Bonte Hill in their life. Where do we go, man?
Yeah, Twitter, at your own risk. Although I haven't been tweeting much, man. I have a daughter who's 14 months old and all the vitriol on Twitter. I'd be damned if I go on Twitter to hear about Steve Kerr's rotations one more time. I just can't take it, all right? They're 41-13. Who cares about the rotations? It's the regular season. Relax, people. But follow me at your own risk, at Bonte Hill on Twitter. Of course, 957game.com. Morning roast, 6 to 9 a.m. with Joe Shass, the Butcher, Bram's best friend. We're no longer cool, but we do a show together from 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. So it's always fun. I really have fun with Maxine and Marcus. I mean, they're the true stars of the show. Bramma just got to put up with you. I don't know how they do it on a daily basis, but
You know what? It is what it is, right?
I feel like I said I loved you. I mean, I don't know. Did something get lost in translation? I'm over here waiting for the love and God just kissed in my face.
I love you too, man. I love you. Brad, you know I got love for you, man. I love this podcast, man. We've been doing it for over 5 years now, which is funny. So it was good to see you kind of just sit there and shock at Chris Mullin. But I'm glad you got to meet him, man. Like, get your hand out of your pocket, dude. Meet Chris Mullin,
this
man.
Can't be.
Come on.
I was playing it cool, Dante. I was playing it cool. Yo, when you meet the hot girl,
the door
you don't
cool.
run over and like, hey, you're the hot girl. You play that shit cool.
So
that's what I was trying
corner?
To do. And then, no, I wasn't in the corner. It's a goddamn TV. I can't believe this is we're back here. I can't believe we're back here. Now we're having Joe back on, and he's going to explain to you that he took up all the air in the room, and there was no more space for me to speak. Oh, this is awful. Not so awful where I won't remind you guys that if you want to shoot us a question, you can do that to our email account, which is at
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Or you can drop it to our Twitter account, Warriors Huddle, at Warriors Huddle. There you go. A lot easier to say apparently here. And with that in mind, go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you next week.
Good, good.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.